Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb. Amen. You know, the fourth stanza of A Mighty Fortress sort of stabs at the heart when it says this, "And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth." I have a wife and children, and I don't want anyone to take them. Nor do I want anyone to take my earthly goods, my reputation, or my life. And I ask you, can you honestly look at these things that you treasure in your life and sing from the heart, "Let all these be gone. Take them from me, God. Take them, they're yours. Do as you will with them." Yet in Genesis 22, that was Abraham's attitude when God asked the unthinkable. "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Now there are people who read this event in the life of Abraham and they ask, what kind of monstrous God would demand such a sacrifice, and especially of someone killing his own son? Even many who call themselves Christians have a lot of trouble with this story. They dismiss it, saying, "Oh, that was the God of the Old Testament. The God who gave us Jesus isn't like that anymore." They say God changed with the New Testament. They assert that God is now much sweeter and gentler and kinder with people. On the surface, it might even seem as if God was somehow going out of his way to be cruel to Abraham. By asking for the sacrifice of Isaac, I mean, wasn't God taking back the very gift that he had just given to Abraham and Sarah? And God seems to drive the knife a little deeper into Abraham's heart with every word that he says. "Take your son, yes, Isaac, your only son from Sarah, whose name means laughter because he has brought you so much joy, and offer him there on the mountain as a burnt offering to me." After the Lord tells Abraham what is required of him, Abraham wastes no time. The Genesis text says that the very next morning, Abraham rose early, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and went to the place that God told him to go. And I think to myself, whoa, hold on, wait a minute. Isn't there something missing from this text? Where is the part where Abraham is conflicted inside? Where he wrestles within himself over this impossible task that God has just assigned him? Where is the story about Abraham's indecision about whether or not he will go through with this and obey or disobey God? Where's the part where frantic Sarah screams and shouts at Abraham, voicing a mother's objection to what the Lord has just told her husband to go and do? In short, where's the human element? Where's the human drama? This account in Genesis reads so matter-of-factly. The Lord commands Abraham to sacrifice his only son. By the way, the son through which God had promised to make Abraham the father of many nations. And the next thing you know, Abraham gets up without comment, bright and early, saddles up and rides, ready to carry out a command that any sane person would question. It's not as if Abraham and Sarah had never questioned God's word or his wisdom before. This wasn't their first rodeo, as they say. This wasn't the first time God had told the couple something that they found impossibly hard to believe. When the Lord informed them that they were going to have a child together, they had serious doubts that God could pull this off. For they were very old, far beyond childbearing years. And even in her youth, Sarah had been barren and unable to have children. This promise was so unbelievable that Abraham and Sarah decided the Lord must not have meant that they would have a son in the literal sense. So Abraham or Sarah insist on having a child by a surrogate mother. This was Sarah's sinful way of attempting to do for herself what God had promised to do for her. When God later explained that Sarah herself would give birth, Sarah laughed at God out of sheer unbelief in a way that was deeply offensive to God. But Isaac was born, and from this experience, Abraham and Sarah learned the hard way that our God can do whatever he says he will do. They learned how to walk by faith, trusting that God has the power to perform all that he promises. And so what we're seeing in Genesis 22 is Abraham's quiet resolve to simply show the obedience of faith. Or to state it clearer, the obedience that comes from trusting God. Abraham saddled up and he set off with his servants and his son, determined never again to question God about anything, because he learned that he was one of God's children, the God who can do everything. We hear no objection from Sarah about what Abraham was setting out to do with her son, because Sarah too had learned never to laugh at God's promises, but to take every word that the Lord says seriously. If you don't believe that Abraham had complete trust in God, then ask why Abraham named this place where he almost sacrificed his son, "The Lord will provide." If Abraham had not believed, he might have named the place, "The Lord asks too much of me," or "The Lord makes absurd demands." But no. Abraham named this spot where all of this took place, "The Lord will provide." This name was Abraham's clear confession of faith in the future sacrifice of Christ. For when Isaac innocently asks, "Father, where's the sacrifice?" Abraham does not waver and say, "Perhaps you are my son." But instead, filled with the Holy Spirit and with the courage of faith, Abraham says, "God himself will provide the lamb required for the sacrifice, my son." And later, just as Abraham had predicted, the Lord did provide for our redemption by offering up his only son, the true Lamb of God, who is worthy, who would be punished in our place to take our sins away. Now, no unbelieving heart will ever be able to see this event in the life of Abraham as the foreshadowing of Christ that it is. Unbelievers will always scoff and say to the end of the world, "All I see in this event is a psychological torment of Abraham, the physical and emotional abuse of his son Isaac." Keep in mind, however, that up until the almost sacrifice of Isaac, God had always and only blessed Abraham. The Lord had consistently showered blessings upon Father Abraham, The Lord had provided Abraham with a wife who was so stunningly beautiful that she still was turning men's heads into her 90s. The Lord had performed an absolute miracle by giving Abraham a son in his old age from this wife whom he loved so much. And along with all this, the Lord had given Abraham great wealth, good land on which to graze his large flocks and herds, fresh water, faithful servants, and sustained peace with his neighbors. And above all that, the great promise that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And so it was up until now that God chose to test Abraham. Now, some people will say, what kind of God is it that tests us? And even a Christian never enjoys this process. When God tests us, he pushes us further than any of us wants to go. Many Christians want to just get by, just enough faith to get them over the humps and the bumps through the tough times of life. But our God wants more for us, and so he tests us. And yet God tempts no man, but we are tempted away by our own desires. When God tests our faith, God never takes more from us than he restores to us. And God doesn't test us to discover anything that he doesn't already know about us. God already knows what's in your heart and your mind better than you know yourselves. God tests you so that you can see what's in God's heart and what's on God's mind. The tests that God sends your way are meant to lead you to know God better, to trust in Christ more, and to learn of his merciful intentions to deliver you from evil. What kind of God would test us? The kind who loves us and wants us to trust him. The kind of God who would provide forgiveness, life, and salvation for us through the sacrificial death of his only son. In hindsight, we now realize that God never intended for Abraham to actually go through with human sacrifice and slaughter his own son. Unlike us, Abraham, however, didn't know that all of this was going to turn out so well. Everything that Abraham was feeling and experiencing as he placed Isaac upon that altar was trying to convince him that God was cruel and unjust and uncaring. And yet God had made Abraham's faith strong. Strong enough to fight off all of these doubts about God. Abraham had come to learn that he could always trust God. Even when Abraham didn't understand what God was really doing in his life. With Isaac lashed to the altar, Father Abraham raised the knife over his head, convinced that his next movement would be to thrust the blade downward into his son's heart to take his young life. The Lord had to bring Abraham to that point of raising that sharp knife over his son, so that Abraham would know something of the sacrifice that our Heavenly Father was preparing to make for us by offering up the life of his son that he loved. This test, like all testing done on Christians, came to Abraham so that he would understand the gospel better. In this very same way that God tested Abraham, God tests all who walk by faith to this very day and for these purposes, so that we will understand the gospel better, so that we will cling tighter to the crucified Christ, and that we will live more joyously with him in his kingdom forever. If Abraham had never lived through this painful event in his life, Abraham's faith would have remained merely theoretical, hypothetical at best. For you see, for us, faith only becomes real when it is tested. And so often we have to lose all of those other things that we have come to depend on instead of God, and abandon them all as we learn to rely on Christ alone. Abraham trusted God, and suddenly there behind him was a ram in a thicket caught by his horn. By this ram, the Lord had provided a suitable substitute for Abraham to sacrifice in the place of Isaac. And now, to this very day, you and I worship Christ as that true Lamb of God that has been provided as our substitute. For the Son was eternally appointed by the Father to die in our place, to take upon himself the eternal pains and the punishments that we once deserved, until he made the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. My friends, faith gladly has learned, like Abraham, to love and to trust and to obey this God who is the Lamb. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes our limited understanding, may it keep your hearts and guard your minds until the day of his coming. Amen.